We do have Maulana Ahmed Akko online from Pietermaritzburg, who's going to be chatting to us this morning with regards to turning holidays into holy days. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Maulana, and the listeners of Radio Islam.
We trust that you are doing well this morning, inshallah, Maulana.
Alhamdulillah, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessing to you, Jumu'ah, all is well on our side, and we hope the same is with all our listeners, inshallah.
Lovely. Maulana, let's start over our topic, and that is a very interesting one.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أتبه الشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى في salutation to your محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected listeners and dear Maulana, you know, when we speak about turning holidays into holy days, I think sometimes we might get the impression when the statement is made that this means that now that it's the holiday and we have free time, we need to be sitting, for example, and being engaged in salah for the entire day or the entire duration of the holiday. Or maybe this means that now for the whole day we need to be sitting with a tasbih counter in our hands and making the zikr of Allah profusely non-stop for the entire day. And that is turning our days, into our holidays, into holy days. So maybe we're sitting the whole day with the Quran and we're reading Quran non-stop, and this is turning a holiday into a holy day. Maybe we might get that sort of impression, but I think what we're going to speak about today is not actually in tune with that explanation that we've just given. Turning a holiday into a holy day, and in fact turning any day into a holy day, or any moment into a holy moment as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something a lot more simpler than we could ever imagine. What is meant when we say that turn something into something holy? This goes back to how every single violation of the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts off with. You open any hadith, and 9 out of 10 times, or in fact all the time, you will find that it starts off with innamal a'malu binniyat, that every action is judged according to its intention. So just depending on what intention we have for any action that we carry out, it depends on whether that action or that moment or that day becomes a holy day or not a holy day. So it's as simple as just an intention. And I think since we are at the start of the festive season and the holidays, many people have already planned their schedules. Perhaps some have already started their holidays. And I don't know whether we should say this on a light note, our mothers, mashallah, I think this is perhaps the most challenging time of the year because they actually have to have the kids for the whole day, you know, that's quite a handful. They're not going to be in school, they're not going to be in madrasa, and sometimes their systems at home are also off part of the year, so I think this is a time of mujahada as well. As we're talking about it being holidays and holidays, it's more a time for struggle for our mothers and sisters, may Allah use their tasks. But it all depends on intention. So those who have already started off their holidays and those who are to embark on their holidays, most important, let us ask ourselves, what is the purpose of our travel? What is the purpose of us going on holiday? Dependent on that intention, there needs to be some sort of noble intention when it comes to a believer traveling. When you look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in so many verses, Allah speaks about it, traveling and going out and spreading in the earth. Continuously, you find this verse repeated. But whenever Allah speaks about traveling in the earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately speaks about a purpose for the travel, that there's a reason why you need to travel out in the earth. It's either to see the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or maybe you take from the people of the past that lived in that area. But there must be a goal, there must be a purpose, there must be an intention. To which part of the world we're visiting in this holiday period, or whichever part of the country that we're visiting in this holiday period, make an intention. If I go, for example, to a town, then I make an intention that, inshallah, I'm going to meet some of the Muslims in that town. Or I'm going to visit the masjid in that town, or I'm going to visit some place of nobility in that area, some people of nobility. If I'm traveling to a place where perhaps there's one or two relatives of mine, then keep that underlining intention that, inshallah, I'm going to be traveling in this place to meet that distant relative of mine. Even though I'm going to be spending the whole week over there, and I'm only going to be spending 5 minutes or maybe 2 minutes with that particular individual, but that 2 minutes of intention makes your entire duration and stay in that place a duration where you are rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all depends on intention. Let us make sure that we have some sort of intention. And it's amazing, last night I was reading up on this whole aspect of Sunan al-Safar, the Sunnah practices of traveling. And there's an amazing hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I came across, and it's connected with having a noble intention when you're stepping out of your home. And this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that whenever a person is about to embark on a journey and leave their home, then at your door there are two flags at your door. One flag is in the hands of an angel, and another flag is in the hands of Shaitan, our enemy, the devil himself. And if a person's purpose of leaving his home and traveling is for a noble purpose, then the angel holding the flag travels with this person and accompanies him with that entire journey till he returns home. And if by chance Allah forbid, a purpose for a person's travel is the disobedience of Allah, or something not noble, something which is bad, something which is wrong, something which is incorrect, then the devil that's holding the flag accompanies that individual or that family for the entire journey till they reach back home. So this is something which is quite thought-provoking. When we have the correct intention, then we have company of Allah throughout our duration of our travel till we return home, inshallah. So that's the first point we wish to discuss, and that is niyyah and intention. I think it's now important that we look at the second point when it comes to traveling, when it comes to turning a holiday into holy days. Remember, when it comes to this period of the year, many people are free from different responsibilities that they have. The kids are free from school, we free from work. I don't think many people are free from the kitchen, but maybe sometimes people are free from the kitchen as well. There's a lot of things that we are free from. But there's one thing as believers that we never, ever, ever free from. And that is our responsibility, especially towards our salah and our prayer. That is of paramount importance. In whichever part of the world we are in, we are still bound by the teachings of Islam, and we have to carry out our acts of worship. And our salah is something which we must keep a checklist. It must be in order. From Fajr, right till Isha, salah, on time, wherever we are. Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Joinat riyal ardu masjid wa tahura." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the specialities, Allah blessed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with and blessed us with Muslims with, is that the entire earth is pure as a salah for us. So wherever we are, we need to make sure that we are in check with regards to our salah. The whole family, well, not just the parents, everybody needs to be functional with their salah. In fact, even if it means us drawing some sort of roster and some sort of timetable for our salah, then let us do that. Even if you're traveling, plan your travel in such a way that there are those breaks for salah where you perform salah. And, you know, let's not forget, wherever we are, make a lasting impression to onlookers as believers. Sometimes just you showing your importance to your deen and your dedication to the teaching of Islam can be the most form of da'wah. So even the onlooker, maybe we're traveling in a place that there are not so many Muslims, people are not so used to this, but your salah alone will be the greatest invitation. Just that we must experience this before in our life, or it's something, if we practice upon, we will experience. People will come up to you and inquire, what do you just read? Then you tell them, no, this is the time for my prayer. This is the time that is due to my Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why I'm performing my prayer. And your diligent performance of your prayer can be the strongest form of da'wah. Who knows, you performing your salah and fulfilling your duty to Allah, that could be the stepping stone to another person coming into deen. And let's not forget the famous quotation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said to Ali radiallahu anhu that if Allah has to guide one person to your effort, that is the best thing possible for you, that is the most valuable asset that you could ever possess. One person getting hidayah and guidance through your actions. So salah is the second that we definitely need to make sure is in order wherever we are in the world. And number three, this is also very important, and I think sometimes maybe we are a bit oblivious with regards to this, but then again, we don't understand that if we cut this upon number three, then this makes a very, very big difference throughout our entire journey, right until we come back home. And that is, there are so many supplications and du'as that have been taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it comes to traveling, we need to be reciting those du'as because of the many benefits that are contained in these du'as taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm sure we all are well aware of the famous du'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught to us when it comes to traveling, and we say subhanallahi saqqara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu mukrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. That our children are learning from the early days in madrasa, and we are all aware of that all praise is due to Allah who has put this vehicle or this mode of transport under our control. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. And if that was not the case, we would never be able to control that mode of transport. وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. And to our Lord is our return. But there's so many other du'as. In fact, it's like a whole procedure taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that إِذَا خَرَجَ رَجُلُ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ. When a person intends leaving their home, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that person should say Bismillah. And he should say, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawakkaltu ala Allah, I place my trust and reliance upon Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no power and might, except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you say the simple words, Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, then there's an angel that's by your side saying that you have been really guided, you've been sufficed, and you've been saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you've been protected from shaitan. Imagine if you just said three simple sentences, and this is the benefit that you get. Allah will guide you, Allah will suffice for all your needs through the journey, Allah will protect you from any unforeseen difficult circumstances, from anything bad coming your way, all just through these three simple supplications that we might make. And then Allah ta'ala 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 ta'ala. Over the supplications that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught the Ummah to make when they go out on a journey, that alone is the strongest message possible for you to understand as a believer how you're supposed to travel and what you're supposed to do when you're traveling in whichever part of the world and you go on a holiday. What's supposed to be the frame of mind and the mindset of a believer when you're traveling? You will get that message simply by pondering over the meanings of the du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught the Ummah. Now for you and I, may Allah forgive us, sometimes we think the holiday period is for sometimes a time for us to catch up on whatever wrong or whatever vice we couldn't indulge in the year. Now we have the holiday period to make merry, to do what we want, and to make qaza and qaba for 11 months of the year. But that's not the case. As believers, we should look at this part of the year in such a way that this is a time for us to perhaps maybe catch up on the good that we couldn't do throughout the whole year. But one dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I wish to go through the meeting with the listeners, and I said, as I mentioned, this will give us the strongest message that we should know how we travel as believers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's famous dua, Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina hadha al-birra wa taqwa. Oh Allah, we ask you in this journey for piety and your consciousness. Be conscious of you, O Allah. We are asking you for goodness, piety, and for us to be conscious of you. Unfortunately, in fact, throughout the world, this is the period of the year where people are the least conscious of the Creator. This is the period of the year where the most amount of vice is sometimes perpetrated in certain areas. But what did the Prophet say when you examine? You say, O Allah, I ask you for goodness, for piety, act for your consciousness. وَمِنَ الْعَمَلِ مَا تَرْضَى. Oh Allah, I ask you to allow me the privilege and honor and the ability to do those actions that please you, not to do those actions that displease you and please shaitan, those actions that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allahumma fawwin alayna safarana hadha. Oh Allah, make this journey easy for us. وَقْرِعَنَّا بُعْدَى. Oh Allah, shorten the distance for us. That means we must be safe from fatigue. You know, many of us are traveling in the plane, we're traveling in the car. People get jet lagged, we get tired, we get exhausted by traveling. Traveling is not the easiest of things, Allah, but sometimes there's the unforeseen delays, etc. It's Allah to shorten the distance. Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar. You say, oh Allah, you are our companion on this journey. If Allah is the companion on every journey, then definitely there's no wrong that's going to take place in that journey. There's no vice that's going to be perpetrated on that journey. Wal khalifatu fil amal. Oh Allah, you're the one that we leave in charge back home. Again, this is also a difficult time of the year where sometimes crime increases, etc. So we need protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our belongings, for our family members that we have left at home. So you say, oh Allah, you are our companion in this journey, wal khalifatu fil ahl. And oh Allah, you're the one that we leave intact back home. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min wa'ta'i safar. Oh Allah, we seek your protection from the difficulties that we could possibly experience on this journey. Wa ka'abatil manzar, sometimes on the journey you ask in Allah's protection from seeing that which displeases you, from seeing that which might sadden you, etc. وَسُوءِ الْمُنْقَلَبِ فِي الْمَالِ وَالْأَهْلِ وَالْوَلَدِ. And then you seek in Allah's protection from a bad return to your home and to your family. How many times, Allah forbid me, Allah protect us, people even have our plans set out. We're going to have so much fun, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And on the way back home, when you come back home, and then you find Allah forbid, somebody's car has been burgled, somebody's has been burgled. May Allah save us, may Allah protect us. But what does this dua teach us? That, oh Allah, we're seeking your protection from a bad return to our families, to our lands, etc., that we've left behind. Everything must be intact. So you're going for that journey. Inshallah, we're going to have our fun. We're going to bond together as families. But most importantly, we're not going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to do something wrong to have a good time. You can do everything good and have the best of times, in fact, better times. You know, let us ponder. Sometimes, you know, we fooled more by the system than what is the reality. How often it is that people spend hundreds of thousands of rand to go to the most exotic of locations that the world has to offer. We have the best of accommodation that the world has to offer. We have the most luxurious surroundings that the world has to offer. We're literally in a place that can be likened to Jannah, although Jannah is mala, you know, there's no comparison ever to paradise. But let's say it's the paradise that the world has to offer, and we're there, and we're still fighting, and we're still arguing, and we're still having our disagreements, and the kids are still really testing our patience, and we're blowing our fuses. But you know, the lap of luxury, and we still got no peace. Peace comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's not the luxuries that bring us peace, it is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that ultimately brings us the greatest satisfaction. So that is with regards to du'as. That's the third point we've discussed. Now we move on to number four. And that is, wherever you travel in the world, make this habit part and parcel of our lives. And that is to try and do good deeds wherever we are. Some good deeds. So if I'm walking through a remote part of the world on holiday and on vacation, the road that I'm walking in, let me at least say Subhanallah three times. Let me say Allahu Akbar three times. Let's recite one short verse of the Quran, maybe one small chapter of the Quran. Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Or let me take out a few rands or whatever is the currency in the whichever part of the world. Maybe sometimes the currency, I mean, compared to the rand, maybe you won't take out one denomination of that old currency because it's a lot of rands. But whatever it is, let me take out something and give it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some sort of some charity. Why is it that we need to do this? Because when we reflect over the verses of the Quran, وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَأَصْطَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. On the day when the earth will give its information to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the explanation of that verse is that on the day of Qiyamah, the earth will bear witness against insan or in his favor for every action committed on its back. Now imagine if I've had the privilege of traveling through 20 countries of the world on vacation, and in those 20 countries of the world, thousands of kilometers apart, all spread out throughout the whole globe. We know what the globe looks like, a picture of the whole world. So I've traveled through all these places, and in every place I've taken the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every place I've done some good deed. Imagine tomorrow when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so many different parts of the earth bear witness that, oh Allah, this individual on that particular day took your name. This individual on that particular day read some portion of the Quran. So it's maximizing our goodness when we're going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some good deeds everybody needs to do. Even the young people, it's happening in the car, sometimes in the plane, in mid-air, thousands of miles above the surface of the earth, at Ramio, an altitude of 30 or 40,000 feet in mid-air, in the middle of the globe, take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, I assure you that portion of the earth or of the sky will bear witness for you when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more good you do, the more your good is prolonged and maximized for you to receive when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's number four. And number five, let us also ensure our safety in every way. Ensure our safety for our belongings before we leave our homes, even if it means us making some contact with our neighbors or neighborhood watches, etc. We're going to be away from home for a certain period of time. Get somebody to check on your home, to check on your belongings, so your safety back home, even your safety while traveling, for those people traveling abroad. Make sure all your valuables are safe at all times. Don't keep all your eggs in one basket as well. All your currency, etc. Spill it around. Sometimes you keep all in one place, Allah forbid. If that bag or something goes wrong over there, then you're in a lot of difficulty and hardship. Also, safety tips. I'm not a travel agent to get into Morana, but these are just travel tips. They always advise that when it comes to our passports and important documentation, your passports, your visas, etc., identification, make sure you carry certified copies of all those things. So you receive your visa, take a copy of it, you have your passport, carry. Sometimes multiple copies will help us in a separate bag. Obviously, you're not going to keep your copies in the same bag. Allah forbid, if something goes wrong, you're still in the same situation. But make sure we try and keep copies of that and be careful with our valuables, be careful with your cell phone, etc. In fact, I think more valuable than the passport, the most valuable possession that we own in our lives is our cell phones, you know.
So
maybe you won't see the kids for a few minutes, you'll survive. Your passport, if it goes, you'll get another one. The cell phone, oh my word, if that goes, I mean, you know, we know how attached we are to our devices. So keep everything safe and ensure our safety at all times. Don't take it for granted. In whichever part of the world in that you are safe, and make sure everything is safe, even when we check into the hotels or the resorts or the places that we stay in, where our accommodation is, try and be safe there as well. Don't take it for granted that safe in that room is foolproof. No, nothing is foolproof. We need to take our precautions. Also, with safety, the du'as will keep us safe, but also we need to take our precautions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep one and all safe during this holiday. But let's just run through those points. The first most important is the purpose for our travel. Make some good intention. You're going to still have all your fun. If you went to an exotic location, for example, where you went to the beach, you're still going to get that tan as much as you could possibly get, right? You're going to enjoy the waves, you're going to enjoy all the activities. You're going to have as much fun as you possibly would want to, but that hopefully duration of your travel will be noble, will be good, just on the basis of your intention. Number two, wherever we are, sorry, it's of paramount importance. Number three, let's not forget the many beautiful du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us to make. Let us learn those du'as, let us recite it, and we see the benefit of it. Number four, let us try and do some good deed in whichever part of the world we are, whichever part of the country we are in. Do some good deed that will be in our favor when we stand before Allah tomorrow. And number five, let us try to keep ourselves safe, and may Allah grant us all a safe return after the festive season, and we look forward to another prosperous, productive year, inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair, Mawlana, for that informative program, and hope, inshallah, it will resonate with everyone out there, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a successful festive season. As you say, Mawlana, it's so easy to turn any moment into a holy moment just by your intention and by doing simple things like that. Jazakallah khair, Mawlana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, so those 5 points, once again, although Mawlana has recapped, but we can relook at it again. Niyyah, and your intention is the most important part. Turn your holidays into holidays by just making a simple intention of maybe visiting the Muslims of the town. I want to visit them, how they are living, etc., find out on them. Your entire trip will become an ibadah. Number two, salah. Make sure the salah is performed on time. Number three, your relevant du'as. Number four, good deeds. Number five, safety. And number six, I would add your istinja jug and a pair of slippers in your car, so that when you are traveling, you know you don't have any difficulty when it comes to answering the call of nature, because istinja is imperative. Without that, your salah is not intact. You cannot make salah if your istinja is not made properly. So that's number six. Number seven, I would say, find out some places of interest and possible places of interest to Muslims, like some pious person living there, or some historical place, like if you're going to Cape Town, you're going to the Owl Masjid, you're going to see the first Quran written, handwritten, you are going to see some of the historical sites there that Muslims are living in. So those are the kind of tips that you can, inshallah, keep in mind. So that's number 7. Number 8, we can say, try and assist the needy as you are going along. Take along change, you know, some loose change here and there, and give us sadaqah. Let sadaqah be a regular practice whilst you're on the journey, inshallah. 50 cents, 1 rand, 50 cents, 1 rand, 50 cents, 1 rand. The good part of that is that Allah will protect your belongings at home, and if there's any calamity to befall you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will avert the calamity from your path. So that's a very good thing to keep in mind. These are some of the tips to keep in mind, inshallah, as you approach and embrace the festive season. It's now 9:58, time to sign out. Until we meet again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.